Amen. Go ahead, Brother Jim.
Yes, I first want to say that I am so grateful for the patience that was demonstrated in the meeting. We're not on a time frame, we're not on a schedule or a program. And, I just so appreciate the functioning and the moving of the body of Christ, the Spirit of God, using, I mean, so many different ones were used, prophetic words. I've said this before. I'm sure I'll say it many times again. We are a prophetic body. I mean, that last song, I agree, Rita, it was a prophetic word.
Yeah.
It was a prophetic word for us. The scriptures that were read, the word of God is prophetic. This word is prophecy. Prophecy. It is prophetic. And so, and thank God for the prophetic prayers. And I just am so blessed to be a part of this meeting and a part of this fellowship and this body. And so, Lord, I just pray that indeed the word will come forth with power, with authority, with an anointing, that it will speak to our hearts, that it will lift us. We thank you, Lord, for this time. Bless the word and bless both the giver and the hearer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I believe that the song, especially that last song, and the exhortations, the words that were shared, the scriptures that were shared, just confirmed what God had put on my heart to share. And I want to start. I always have a hard time starting, but let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Not where I planned to start, but I believe that the Lord, by His Spirit, is directing the meeting today. And we want to get into that flow and remain in that flow. This is Exodus chapter 3, and go down to verse 7. And the Lord said, this is the Lord God speaking to Moses. I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Brother Howard, Sister Madeline, all of you who are Connie, you've been through a very rough time, some troubled water. All of you know this word is for you. God has heard your cry. He hears. God has an ear. He hears. He feels the afflictions that taskmaster. The devil is a very good taskmaster. He knows how to bring suffering and affliction And he's an equal opportunity taskmaster. He'll afflict anybody, and he loves to afflict the body of Christ, the people of God. But God says, I have heard. I feel your pain. Hallelujah. I know exactly where you are and what you're going through. And what did he say? Listen to this. Verse 8. I am come down to deliver them, to deliver you, each one of us. Whether it's an oppression, whether it's a sickness, an illness, whatever the taskmaster, the oppressor is bringing. And look at, just look at what God did through Moses to the people of God. Praise God. What he did, he will do again and again for the people of God. I want us to go to Revelation chapter 12. We're going from the beginning of the book to the end of the book. Revelation chapter 12. I don't know how this is going to pan out, but praise God, we'll trust the leading of the Spirit of the God to lead us. I want you to go down to verse 6. We're in Revelation 12, and in verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Amen. Prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, and the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a voice, a loud voice, saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ. The accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now, this is the same scenario that we just read in Exodus. The ruling empire ruled. Egypt was the ruling empire of their day. God brought them down to nothing, destroyed their army, destroyed their economy, judged their land. And this is a picture of what God will do for the people of God. Now, I'm looking for, okay, yes. Go back one more chapter, chapter 11. And, well, we can begin in verse 1, just to get the context. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood and said, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court, which is without the temple, leave it out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Same period of time we read over in chapter 12, 1,260 days. is 42 months, is 3.5 years, is a time times and a half a time, same period of time. And verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Verse 6. These have power to shut the heavens, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over the waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all the plagues, even as often as they will. What we're seeing is the same power that God demonstrated through Moses, through Elijah, the two witnesses, a type of Moses, a type of, they both brought down the wickedness. Do you remember what Elijah did on Mount Carmel? He challenged the God of this world. Baal was ruling in Israel and influencing Judah. And Ahab and Jezebel were openly worshiping Baal, which is Satan. And so God demonstrated his power. And God is demonstrating his power, and God will. I want you to look at this. Verse 6. These have power. Present tense, brethren. We have power. The word that Rita read in Romans 8:11 confirms that that same spirit, that same power that was in Moses, that was in Elijah, that was in Joshua, right on down the line, that was in the early church, that same power is in us. Brethren, I believe that what God wants to show us is that in the days to come, we are going to see the sons of God come forth. Now, I'm not making any kind of prediction here. Okay. But I believe in my day. I believe that I'm going to be here to see the manifestation of the sons of God. And when the sons of God come forth, they're going to minister in power. That word there for power happens to be exousia. We know also that God is going to give dunamis, divine power, to his church for this time. It's important for us to know, what are we going to be doing? This is 3.5 years. What are we going to be doing for 3.5 years? God is going to give power to the sons of God to do exactly what Moses did, to do exactly what Elijah did, to do exactly what Peter and Paul and Philip and John, all of them, the same power. Thank you, Rita, that introduction. The same power that has been demonstrated through the patriarchs, through the prophets, through the early church, the apostles and prophets, that same power will be demonstrated for 3.5 years. What are we going to be doing, brethren? The picture that was described, that we read in Exodus 3, these taskmasters, and I don't know if you've seen the Ten Commandments movie or some movie like that of what it was like. I'm telling you, we're talking about suffering. We're talking about, okay, what was it like when Jesus, because the sons of God are going to fulfill the last half of Daniel's 70th week. Because in the midst of the week, the Messiah was cut off. He ministered for 3.5 years, and then he left that last 3.5 years to the sons of God. The same power that Jesus demonstrated, the sons of God are going to work in that same power, that same exousia, that same dunamis. Brethren, we are going to see the same ministry that Jesus Christ did minister through the sons of God. And so, and for 3.5 years, brethren, read the Gospels. He broke bread, it multiplied. He turned the water into wine. He healed the sick. I will give power unto my two witnesses, to my body, to my sons. I'm going to give power. And they're going to minister for that 3.5 year period in that power, healing the sick, raising the dead. Now, what was it like when Jesus ministered for 3.5 years? What was the scene? It was no different than the taskmasters in Egypt. It was no different than the Baal worshipers in the time of Elijah. It was no different than when Jeremiah prophesied that this city is going to be destroyed. This temple is going to be destroyed. Why? Because the temple was defiled. The same devils that Jezebel worshiped rose up again, and they were worshiping in Jeremiah's time. It was no different when Jesus came on the scene. The Romans were hard taskmasters. Jesus was not the only one that was crucified. And I'm not talking about the two thieves beside him. Years before, they used crucifixion as an evil torture to show everybody, put them up on that cross so everybody can see, look, you do what I say or this is what you're going to get. The Romans were hard taskmasters. And the priesthood was just as corrupt and defiled in the time of Jesus as it was in the time of Jeremiah. What are we talking about? We're talking about at the end of time, Babylon is riding high. We are going to see the apostate church with every devil, every prince devil that has ever been manifested from the beginning of time. Just take a minute here and look at Revelation 9. As long as we're here in Revelation, look at Revelation 9. And I want you to go down to verse 12. Well, start with verse 11. 9:11, Revelation 9:11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, Abaddon. And in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon, which means the destroyer. Remember, Satan came to kill and destroy, to kill every living thing because he hates life, to steal. He wants to steal your inheritance, and he wants to destroy the work of God, the church of God, the people of God. That's Apollyon, the destroyer. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Verse 13. The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year, for to slay a third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. I heard the number of them. The sixth angel. Okay, let's rehearse this. Let's review this a little bit. The fifth station in the tabernacle is the golden altar of incense. And the priest would come into the holy place. He would light the lamps. The lamps never went out, by the way. He would trim the lamps. He would go and he would minister at the bread, the table of showbread, change the bread. Then he would go to the golden altar and put the incense on, and the smoke would rise up. The golden altar, the fifth station in the tabernacle, is the offering up of the soul. Now, in Hebrews chapter 9, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to quote it. In Hebrews 9 and verse 4, it describes what is in the Holy of Holies. And he says that the golden censer or the golden altar, well, maybe I should prove it. Okay. Hold your finger in Revelation 9. Hebrews 9. Sometimes it's better just to read. Now, Hebrews 9. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherewith was the lampstand and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. Now notice, how many items are in the holy place? Three items, but he only names two. And after the second veil, now we're talking about the veil into the Holy of Holies. And the second veil, and after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, the Holy of Holies, which had what? The golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had the manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tabernacle of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of the glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot speak now. What is the golden altar doing in the Holy of Holies? How did it get there? We're talking about breaking through the veil. At this point in time, now let's go back to Revelation 9 before I finish that thought. Revelation 9 and verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the horns of the golden altar, which is before God, before the ark, in the Holy of Holies. The sixth angel cannot sound, cannot trumpet until the golden altar, which means the offering up of our soul. The sons of God now have offered up their soul, have broken through the veil as a body. Nobody's going to sneak in there, brethren. Nobody's going to get ahead of somebody else. We are going through as a body, breaking through the veil, going within the veil. And now the cry comes up from that golden altar, which is the prayers of the saints that have gone on before us, which is the cry. It's the cry of the sons of God. And the sons of God are saying, now, what we read over in chapter 12, now is come salvation and strength and power. I'm misquoting it, so I'm going to read it quick. Revelation 12, 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength. That word strength is dunamis, brethren. And the kingdom of our God. And the what? And the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And we'll read it again. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And the word of our testimony. Prophetic word. The prophetic word of God, the word of our testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. That means that they were at the golden altar offering up their soul. They loved not their lives. And only dead men that have offered up their soul can break through that veil. Did you hear me? Only dead men go through that veil. Because we are dead to self, dead to soulishness, and alive unto God, alive unto Christ. We shall be alive forevermore. Now, I want to go back to the fifth station, the golden altar is before the veil. And this is the way that I see it. And if you see it another way, you'll have to help me. Help me to see. On the Day of Atonement, once a year, the high priest would go into that holy place with that vessel of blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. On the Day of Atonement is the high day when the high priest goes within the veil once a year and atones for his sins, for the sins of the people, for the sins of the nation. And two things, it is very important. The smoke from the golden altar must rise, which is the cry of the people. Forgive my sins, forgive my sins. And the other thing, there must be that vessel filled with blood. Now, this is how I see it. The golden altar is there before the veil. It has arms, okay? The rods go through. He comes, and I don't know if you can see this. Comes there. He's got the vessel in his hand with the blood in. He takes his forearms. He lifts that golden altar, and the veil parts. Just like the waters parted for Moses. The veil parts, and he carries that golden altar through that veil and the blood in his hand. And he applies the blood on the mercy seat. This is the picture. This is the picture here. Now we're back in Revelation 9. The cry that we talked about from the taskmasters. This cry is going up. How long, Lord? The cry. Where is that? We should read that. I believe it's chapter 6. Yes. Back in chapter 6, we're getting a review here, brethren. We're reviewing a lot of scripture here. Chapter 6 of Revelation and verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they had held. Verse 10, and they cried again, the same cry, the same deep cry. Someone needs to mute here. The same deep cry that we heard in the time of Moses. The same suffering that Israel has suffered for thousands of years. The same suffering that the church has suffered for 2,000 years of being persecuted and put down. Verse 10, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were would be fulfilled. talking about all of those, not just the martyrs from the day of Pentecost up until now. And there have been many. But I'm talking about even the people of God in the old covenant that suffered because they were looking for the coming forth of the Messiah. There was a great slaughter of the people of Israel in their history. The slaughter of 6 million Jews in the time of the Holocaust. Their blood is crying up. Their voice is being heard. And what did it say? How long? You want to know how long? A little season. Do you want to know how long a little season is? 1,260 days. 42 months. Time times and a half a time. 3.5 years. Once the sons of God break through that veil, they are going to be energized with this power to go forth, and we're going to see kingdoms brought down. Just like the power that was in Moses to bring Egypt and reduce them to reduce them in their power. They were a broken nation. God. Okay, where did we start there? Okay, in 11, chapter 11, still in Revelation. These have, I'm going to bring that out again, brother. They have present tense. These are the two witnesses. They have power to shut up the heaven that rain not in the days of their prophecy. They have power over the waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with the plagues as often as they will. God is going to energize the sons of God and demonstrate to them and through them that God is God. And the judgments that are reserved, the plagues that are reserved in the book of Revelation, they're going to begin to fall on the nations, and they're going to know that I am God, and that these are my people, and I am working through them, and I have anointed them. Okay, so much for the introduction. Now the word. And because it's been read and quoted, we're going to go back and look at it again. Read the scripture, Romans 8:11. We're going to read it. Okay. We're going to start in verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life. Life, life, life. Because of righteousness. Not my righteousness, not your righteousness. Because of the righteousness of Christ. But if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. This is the quickening that the sons of God are going to have when they break through that veil and receive power. You know, it's too bad that we don't have some of that quickening now. It's too bad we don't have some of that power now. What? Come on, brethren. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, we have that power. Present tense. We have that anointing. We have that quickening. We do not have to wait until the sons of God break through the veil to have that kind of power. God wants to demonstrate that power in us and through us now. And do you know how I know that? And I know it for a fact. Because I just saw it. I just saw it in the meeting. I saw the spirit of prophecy work. I saw prophetic prayers prayed. I heard prophetic words, exhortations. Are you saying amen? Did you see what I saw? That was a demonstration. We do not have to wait for the sons of God to come forth, to begin to believe God for this demonstration of his power, of his spirit working through us now. Oh, God, help us. I want you to go to the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And I want you to go down to verse 40. Amen. And there came a leper to him, Jesus, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Brethren, Leprosy is a type of sin. And it wasn't just this man that was in sin. The whole nation was under the curse of sin. And they were weak, they were sickly, they were lepers in their land. All manner of sicknesses and diseases. And Jesus came. And the man said, he had a little bit of faith in him. Now, I want you to understand what leprosy is. I don't know if any of us have ever seen a leper, other than some recording, a picture or a movie or something. It eats skin, it eats the bones. These people have to live in a leper colony because they're unclean. Under the laws of Moses, you have to separate yourself. You're unclean. Their clothes are rotting. There's a stench about them. They're suffering. This man is crying out in his suffering, just like those that cried out under the heavy taskmasters of Moses. How long, Lord, before you send the deliverer? Pharaoh is going to kill us all. This leper, in his desperation, he's desperate. And he's crying out, oh God, I want to get rid of this leprosy. I'm suffering. Jesus, now this is what I want us to see. Jesus moved with compassion. And he said, I will. Be thou made. This is what I believe God wants us to begin to demonstrate now. The compassion of God to reach out to suffering humanity all around us. Brethren, we have to be blind if we can't see the suffering of humanity that's all around us. Young children trafficked. And you know, this trafficking is not just children, men and women, women used for prostitution and men used as slave labor. It's going on. It's been going on for thousands of years. They're suffering. They're crying out. And we meet them. Do you know? Do you know that we meet them every day? They're all around us. We learned of a lady who's in an abusive situation with a man. So Joanne and I began to pray, God, deliver. Deliver from this taskmaster of abuse. Do you see? Brethren, we do not have yet the power that the sons of God are going to demonstrate for 3.5 years. We do have the power. Can we pray for the sick like we did this morning? Can we begin to reach out to one another and with compassion? You know what compassion means? I feel your pain. I feel your pain. I'm not going through what you're going through, but I can feel your pain of what you're going through. This is the kind of compassion, brethren, that we, the people of God, the body of Christ, must begin to demonstrate now. And yes, we do have that same spirit dwelling in us that we can pray for the sick. We can pray for deliverance for those in bondage around us.
Amen.
Look at, it's in the same chapter here. We're still in Mark chapter 1. In verse 23, and there was in the synagogue a man that had an unclean spirit, and he cried out. The synagogue, brethren, is a type of the church, a type of the gathering together of the people of God. You think there's not hurting people, bound people, people with unclean spirits in the church? And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Jesus rebuked the spirit. It was not the man. Do you see this? It was not the man. It was the spirit speaking. And Jesus rebuked the spirit, saying, rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were amazed. It's just like the man that had the legion. That's in the Gospel of Mark. We won't go there, but he had a legion. He was bound with a legion of demons in him. And what happened? Now, Jesus goes, and just like this leper, he went to that man at the Gadarenes, and he laid hands. Now, wait a minute. Jesus, you're not going to touch that filthy. Oh, my goodness. He hasn't bathed in years. His clothes are rotting. He stinks. You're not going to lay hands on him. Yes. That's the love and the compassion that Jesus showed to this man that was bound with a thousand or however many thousands of demons a legion is. And the man was made whole. Now, I happen to believe that not only was the man set free, just like the leper, but the skin began to grow back. His clothes were even washed and cleaned. Believe it if you want. This is what I believe God would say to us today. We're going to receive power as sons of God. Yes. But the same spirit that's in Christ is in us now. We've got power now. If we begin to believe God and have compassion on the suffering humanity all around us that's crying out, go to Jude. Just go back from Revelation, one book, Jude. Jude and verse 20, the book of Jude, verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, that same Holy Ghost that the disciples prayed in, That same Holy Ghost, pray in that same Holy Ghost that's in you that raised Christ from the dead. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have what? Compassion. Don't see, don't look and see a filthy homeless man. He deserves to be homeless. He's nothing but a drunk and a drug addict. No. His soul is precious to God. Something put him in that bondage. We need to begin to see the suffering of humanity all around us, brethren, and not look at the man, the woman, the young boy or girl with the tattoos and the piercings. You see, that's the spirit that's manifesting. It's not the man, it's not the woman, it's not the young man or young girl. It's the demons that are manifesting through them, and we've got to look beyond it and see suffering humanity. Crying. They may curse you. They may speak evil to you. But in reality, they're suffering. They're crying out. Oh God, if there's a God, I need help. I need deliverance. I need something. Because they're under the same taskmaster. And verse 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted with the flesh. Okay, I want to show you something.
Need Mr. Pegasus. I need a Mr. Pegasus. That's senior.
Okay. Look in the Bible bag. There's one.
Okay. Oh, never mind. I got one.
I want you to look at this, Brett. I'm sure you all have this book, Mr. Pegalo. Now, I want you to look real close. Mr. Pegalo. He was in a low place. Mr. Pegalo was a real man. I've been to the town where Bob Strebelo grew up. He was the town drunk. He worked at the junkyard. He got his paycheck on Friday. He went straight to the bar. He was drunk all weekend until he'd come back suffering. Monday morning, go back to work and do the same thing all over again. Never took a bath. But somebody, Bob Strebelo, as a young man, saw Mr. Pegalo in a low place. Said, I think I can help this man. You know what it was? Compassion. Compassion says, you're suffering, and I'm not suffering from what you're suffering from, but I feel your pain. I feel your pain, and you're really suffering and hurting, and I believe I can help. Because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead was dwelling in Bob Strebelo as a young man, and he used that power to reach out to Mr. Pegalo in his low place. And in the vision, God showed to Bob Strebelo, Mr. Pegalo slipping down into the fires of hell. And he cried out, said, "What can I do?" He said, "Reach out your hand. Reach out your hand." And he pulled him out of the fire. Oh, wait a minute. Didn't we just read that? And others, saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted with blood. What a demonstration of the compassion of God working through Bob Strebelo. Come on, we've all had experiences. I don't believe he's the only one. We've all had experiences. We had 14 years of ministering in the prison to men and women whose life meant nothing. They didn't think much of their own life. The prison system didn't think much of them. The world didn't think much of them. What? We went into that prison and found some treasures, some precious souls that were suffering. All we did was reach out our hand to them. And we have many testimonies of what God did. Well, Mr. Pegalo got saved. He got dried out. Got a bath. Got some clean clothes. Went back to work. Was a new man. But he didn't live very long. God took him home at a young age, whatever age he was. But Bob Strebelo did what ordained for him to do. Show some compassion. That's what Jesus did. Filthy, rotten leper. Stinky. His clothes are rotting. His skin is rotting away. And Jesus touched. Yes, he touched him. In compassion. And so can we. Now, that's not the end of the story for Bob Strebelo. Bob Strebelo, toward the end of his life, fell on hard times. And he actually became a homeless person. And he was living down, I believe it was in Georgia. And a friend of ours heard about it. Bob Strebelo. You mean Bob Strebelo that wrote that book? Yeah, that guy. He's homeless. And besides that, he's a diabetic. And he's not getting his medication. You know what that means. He's going to go into a diabetic shock and die. He was on the street as a homeless person dying. Bob Strebelo. Look real close at this. Bob Strebelo. Bob found himself in a low place. Just like Mr. Pegalo. Mark Lesage. We know him well. Mark Lesage heard about Bob Strebelo. He said, "That's our brother. He's blessed us with this little book, and he's reached out to so many. He's our brother, and he's suffering." Mark Lesage sought him out, got him off the street, cleaned him up, got him in touch with his family in Missouri. Saved his life, because he would have been in, I'm sure he would have been into diabetic shock and died on the street. Homeless man. Do you know what it was? Mark Lesage reaching out in compassion to his brother. Your brother, my brother, Bob Strebelow, our brother, fallen on hard times, got in a low place. And God sent a messenger, Mark Lesage, and got him out of that taskmaster, that lowly place. Brethren, God hasn't given to us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power and of love and of sound mind. There's a power in love to reach out to our fellow man. It's called compassion. Yes, the 3.5 years of the sons of God, there's going to be mighty demonstration of miracles and power. But brethren, we've got that same spirit in us now. We don't have to wait. Connie's been through a hard time. Howard's going through a difficult time. Madeline. We've got power in our prayers. Have some compassion for these that we're looking at right now on our meeting. Have some compassion in your prayers and pray. I'm talking about pray. Let me close with one more verse. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4. Okay. All right. Verse 16. 1 John 4:16. For we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. You mean the ministry that Jesus had is our ministry? To lepers, to homeless people, to drug addicts, alcoholics. You mean that same ministry is our ministry? Yes. And it's the ministry of love. Because the moment that we reach out our hand, that's a demonstration of the love of God by compassion. I see your pain. I can feel your pain. Can I help you? Can I pray for you? Can I help lift you out of that? Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. May God help us May God help us to not be afraid to reach out to all the suffering humanity. I mean, brethren, it's all around us. And you know what? It's going to get worse. We're going to see demon manifestations like this earth has never seen before. Those four spirits. We didn't read it, but it's at the end of chapter 9 in Revelation. Spirit of murder. I mean, a spirit of murder. Just going out randomly murdering people. Fornication, which is not just sexual uncleanness, it's idolatry. Spirit of theft and the spirit of sorcery. We're going to see those spirits manifest in a way that they've never manifested to humanity ever. And the sons of God are going to have that power. And they will have that power. But we're seeing a taste of it right now. Demon manifestations. It's not the demon. It's not the person. Mr. Pegalo was bound with a spirit of alcohol. It bound him. It controlled him, controlled his life. He couldn't get away from it. He needed help. God sent a messenger to minister the love of God through compassion to Mr. Pegalo. How many Mr. Pegalos are all around us? Mrs. Pegalo. Come on. May God help us. I've borne my heart, brethren. We've got the power, and we've got it now. And it's called the power of love. It's called compassion for suffering humanity around us. God help us. Father, in Jesus' name, forgive us where we have not noticed and seen with our eyes the suffering humanity that's all around us. And we've walked right by them. Forgive us, Lord. And Lord, I'm asking you to help us that the Spirit of God would begin to move through us, each one of us. To begin to reach out in compassion and love and to minister in that power of the Spirit to their needs to help lift them out of the hell that they're living in. God help us. Each one of us. Amen. If we have, are we going too long, Mark? Are we okay for time? Are we okay?
Yeah, we're okay.
I just need 5 minutes. Brethren, I had a dream, and in this dream,
You want me to put this on the same recording then, Jim?
sure, it can be on the same recording. In this dream, I was in hell. I'm sorry to say, but Joanne was with me. Joanne and I were in hell. And what I understood was that this was a living hell on earth. Do you understand me, brethren? A living hell on earth. And it was like it was a subterranean place. It was like the basement.
Okay.
And this place was huge, as far as the eye could see. And people were in this living hell on earth, going about their daily business, going about their life, but they were suffering and they were in a living hell. And yet they just went about their daily life. And I looked around and people were industrious. I know that they were in misery. They were suffering. They were in bondage. But at the same time, they just went about their daily day, their daily business in a living hell. And I looked around and there was no door. There was no window. There was no way out. And I said to Joanne, I said, we've got to get out of here. We've got to get out of here. And so we desperately were looking for a way to get out. And all of a sudden, I looked over in the corner and there was a little stairway. And so I said, come on. And so we went up this little stairway and there was a landing there or a platform. And that was it. There was no, I thought it was a way out, but there was nothing there. No door, no window, nothing. I said, oh my God, help us. We got to get out of here. But we were desperate to get out of there because it was a living hell on earth. And I looked over in the corner on this platform and there was a stone wall, a rock wall. And in that wall was a little hole. And I said, Joanne, I think I can get through that hole and get out of here. And so I boosted myself up and I crawled through that hole. And then I reached out and helped Joanne and we got out of there. Jesus is the rock. He's the rock. He was that rock wall. And he's the door. He made an opening. You know what? Joanne and I were once in a living hell. And God made a way out for us. What about all those people down there that are still in that living hell suffering? God showed me that dream to show me where I once was. I was once in a living hell, and I got you out. You need to have compassion for fallen humanity around you. Still in that living hell, and they're still suffering. And you need to do what Bob Sabolo did. Reach out your hand and help Mr. Piccolo get out of his hell. And he did. And so can we. Compassion, brethren. Compassion for our fellow man. In Jesus' name, God bless you. I'm done, Mark. God bless you.